Good morning, friends of Emmanuel Baptist Church. Welcome to our online service this 23rd day of May 2021. I read these words from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help us when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Friends, I draw our attention this morning to the fact that it is Pentecost Sunday on the Christian calendar. We celebrate and remember Pentecost on the 50th day or 7th Sunday from Easter Sunday. Pentecost commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and other followers of Jesus Christ while they were in Jerusalem celebrating the Feast of Weeks. As described in Acts 2:1-31, what a day that was. As devout Jews from every nation heard these Galilean Christians speaking in various dialects, telling them of the wonderful things God had done, they were amazed and perplexed. Friends, I think this is a common response when God truly moves on people. We are amazed and perplexed. As we listen in this morning, may we too be amazed and perplexed at how God is working in our lives and world. Join me in prayer. O God, we welcome and need your presence amongst us. Please reveal yourself to us in amazing ways through this online service. Bless each participant as they use their gifts for your honor and glory today. Amen.
This morning, we've got another student update for you. We introduced this last week as a way for us to connect to our college students who've been away for the year and are now back around for a while, giving them an opportunity to share something they learned from this year, what they're doing this summer, and if there's any way that we can pray and support them. So we've got a video for you this morning, and I will let them introduce themselves.
Good morning, Emmanuel Baptist Church family. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Tiara Betch. I was asked to share a little bit about my college experience this past year. I've spent the past year in Three Hills, Alberta at Prairie Bible College studying songwriting and recording. It was an amazing experience, made some very amazing friends, studied under some very amazing professors. I just want to share a quick story of how I ended up at Prairie. So I had planned on attending Cape and Ray in Germany this past year, but as you can probably already guess, COVID changed my plans. I found out mid-August that Bodensee-Hof, the school in Germany, was going to be shortened to a three-month program starting in January, rather than a six-month program starting in September. I had planned to keep on working in Bellevue until then, but God made it abundantly clear that that wasn't his plan for me. I won't bore you with the whole story, but I applied to Prairie 4 days before school started. I didn't even know I was accepted until the day before I needed to be there. So like 12:30 Monday afternoon, I told my boss that I was accepted, quit my job, came home that night, packed up the Suburban, drove all the way to Three Hills, made it there at 1 a.m., started school at 10 a.m. the same morning. So it was a very crazy experience, but I could see God's hand at work through it all. It was really very truly amazing. There is a reason that I did explain this story to you. When I was asked to share about my college experience, I was asked to share something I've learned from this past year. The biggest thing that I would say that I've learned was just trust. I wish that I could say at this point that I was a pro at trusting God without fail, but I'm sure that you can all guess I am not. I'm just so glad that we serve a God who's so faithful to his people. Through all the highs and lows of this year, I just learned that I needed to let go of this illusion that I had control over my life and surrender that to our Heavenly Father. God is ultimately in control, and thank goodness, because he knows what is best. Ultimately, this summer I'm planning on working for the town of Alvey in the Parks and Recreation Department. So that's my plan. I have a job right until the end of August. And in the fall, I'm planning on attending NAIT in Edmonton for respiratory therapy. If I could get prayer for my job this summer, just that I could be a light to the people that I'm working with and I can show God's love to them. And just also for the fall, as I'm planning on attending school in Edmonton, just living in a new place, figuring out how to, just balance a course load and living on my own, just things like that. Any prayer and support would just be amazing. Yeah, thanks for listening to my story, and I hope you guys all have a great Sunday.
Please join me in prayer as we talk to our living, loving, and active God. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You made the world and initially called everything good. That was before sin entered your beautiful creation. Thank you for your infinite creativity and loving kindness on display for us to see each and every day. Thank you for not simply condemning your broken world when Adam and Eve sinned and rebelled against you. Thank you for showering kindness and mercy upon them, even making clothes for them out of a slain animal to cover their sinful nakedness. Your mercy and grace are boundless and without measure. In fact, you loved your world so much that you gave your one and only Son, Jesus, as a perfect, eternal sacrifice, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but receive and obtain eternal life. For these mercies, we give you heartfelt thanks and praise this morning. Father, forgive us for taking your kind benevolence for granted and for often abusing your grace or using it as an excuse to sin. This is not your desire for us, and we repent of our sinful, wicked ways. Draw us back to yourself to the point where we lovingly obey you out of heartfelt gratitude for your loving kindness through Jesus Christ. Lord, we lift up Canada and our global leaders to you at this time. There's mass confusion going on everywhere we look. We are grieved when we see the conflict that's going on between Israel and Palestine. There's so much unrest, so much pain, and so much grief. Lord, we pray that you would provide the leaders of our world with the wisdom they need to make good decisions. They all somehow mysteriously have a part to play in your eternal plan and are allowed to lead under your sovereign hand. Remind us to pray for them often before the great day of your return. Please increase our longing for the day of your return. And may we, like Abraham, look for that city with foundation, whose author and builder is you yourself, God. Lord, we also lift up the elders and pastors of our local churches here in Bellevue and surrounding area. We ask you for abundant wisdom as we continue to navigate COVID-19 waters. Confusion still often seems to dog us as we seek your leading in these densely foggy times. Help us to watch our attitudes and keep us from unrighteous anger, which only kindles and produces strife. May we as leaders of your church be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. May we be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. It has been said that you are most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in you. May we be these people. May we forsake our broken cisterns as a congregation and drink from you, the fountainhead of living water. May you be enough for us as we journey through this pilgrim wilderness. Lord, may we be beacons of hope and light to the lost around us, Lord. We know that there is much pain and much confusion. And Lord, we have the hope of salvation living within us. Lord, we have good news for people who are experiencing only bad news right now. We would love to share the goodness of who you are. We would love to share the story of salvation with lost friends and family. How we pray that you will unlock their hearts and minds so they begin to grope their way out of the dark and into the light. O Lord, we pray that you keep us in your love and in your grace in these most difficult times, and may we find ourselves more focused on the wonders of salvation than on the confusion in our world. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Say that thou art. It's a real privilege to come and share with you this morning, and I want to thank you for inviting us to come and speak. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you that you are Lord of all. You are reigning in all your splendor and glory. And we are thankful that we can know you and walk with you. And Lord, this morning we would just ask that you would speak to our hearts as we turn our hearts towards you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Hezekiah. And we ask you to speak to us through his life here in the book of 2 Chronicles 29. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for just your support of us. We just want you to know that we are very, very grateful, especially now when we're moving. It's costly, and it's costly to do repairing and things like that. And we just are grateful to you. You are the strongest supporter of us as a church, and we are very grateful. When we get paid once a month through the mission, there is a statement, and in it, it says who has given that month. And there's always Emmanuel Baptist, and it doesn't say who gave from the church, but you know who you are, and we thank you, and we are very, very grateful. Want to also thank you for practical help. Now that we are moving, some of you have come and taken loads to the dumps, come with a cat and plowed snow and made room to turn around, come with bobcat and moved lumber. We came in about 1 o'clock the other night, about two nights ago. We arrived at one, and I hadn't been here for about 2 weeks, and I wanted to see what was happening. We went into the house, and here we could see that somebody had painted, and it just moved us to tears again and again. It's not like you folks don't have busy lives of your own, and here you're reaching out to help us, and we are grateful. We're also so thankful for Daryl, who is taking the lead in as sort of like a general contractor and figuring things out and coordinating things, and his advice and taking on, extra tasks. I asked him the other day to put a door on, and he was quite willing, and we were just thankful. I want to speak about three things today. One is our move, another is the ministry, and another is the message, like the Word of God. So these three M's. Why? First one, the move. Why are we moving? It's for a number of reasons. One is that my father-in-law, Evelyn's dad, is 86 now, and has lost a lot of the dexterity of his fingers. He doesn't have mom's help because mom died about 3 or 4 years ago. And so it's hard for him to put on a snowblower or to fill his pill grid with pills or to make firewood and just different things. And so we look forward to coming here, and he has moved on into a cottage on Esther's yard, and we will look forward to taking him to appointments in Grand Prairie and bringing him things and visiting him and so on. And another reason is with COVID, we have been restricted in our visits to the missionaries from coast to coast to coast. We used to go annually to everyone. We are supervising maybe 40 missionaries, and we haven't been to the Maritimes in 2 years, or to like Northern Quebec or to Northern Northwest Territories. And so if we are restricted in greater and greater degrees from working from our home, then it doesn't matter where home is, then it might as well be near family. We've lived in Saskatchewan. In November, it'll be 11 years. And we have none of our kids living there, none of our grandkids living there. And Dad is running out of runway. And so we just felt this is the time to come back. And while I still have enough body to do it, I've had both my knees done in the last month. Not knee replacements, but where they put Duralane with a needle into each knee, as well as cortisone. So, yeah, there's a number of reasons. And also, with the Great Reset being threatened upon us and the interprovincial borders closing, we would, if we're going to be locked down, we'd rather be locked down here with you guys. Yeah. Okay, that's the move. It's three phases. One is of the move is to empty the contents of the buildings. The second is to do the repairs, and the third is to move our things in. We put our house up for sale last month. It almost sold twice, almost, but both deals fell through. So we're just waiting for when God will sell it. Yes. The ministry. I'd like to speak a little bit about the ministry. It was interesting. We couldn't get into Fort McPherson, which is near Inuvik, and God, through His unique sovereignty, allowed us to meet with that missionary. His wife had cancer surgery in August. She got to see her surgeon, her doctor for cancer, for the first time in person in January in Vancouver area. And so I was wanting to catch him when they would drive back home from Vancouver up to near Inuvik. And so I intercepted him in Grand Prairie about a month ago, and it was so special to be able to visit him there and to touch base and have our meeting with him and take him out for a meal. And they are renovating their house, a full reno. His father is in his 80s. He got out of Ontario about 2 hours before the Ontario-Manitoba border closed. When they were traveling north, I asked, "So how did you get into BC and into the Yukon?" And it was fine. His big concern was getting over the Peel River before the ice bridge went out. This is just recent, like about 3 weeks ago. And he got in before the ice bridge went out. He pulled in his 32-foot car hauler with renos. Then they had to self-isolate in Inuvik for about half a month, and they were just really anxious to get across the Mackenzie River before that ice bridge went out. And they were given an exception. They could go one day early, and they were the last legal vehicle over the ice bridge. God's timing is just incredible, just matchless. We're also keeping in touch with emails and phone calls with missionaries. Another recent thing, about a week ago, I was teaching one day at our missionary candidate training. We haven't had one for about 2 years. There was 3 weeks of this at a Bible camp an hour north of us, our Bible camp, that we used to supervise. And Evelyn and I were there one day to teach the trainees. We also have missionaries coming and stopping in and seeing us. And sometimes I get to have them ride with me. About 2, 3 days ago, Wednesday, I guess it was, a missionary jumped in with me. We drove from our home all the way to a reserve south of Edmonton, and had a good chance to talk. Once we got to the reserve, had a chance to visit our missionaries that we supervised there. And what our task was at this time was to put up a radio tower for the gospel. And if you go on the internet to CJTL, which stands for Christ Jesus the Light, you can go punch in CJTL radio and it'll come up there, and you can listen to Christian radio programming that is done exclusively by First Nation people, and it's done across most of Canada. They have quite a few stations now, I'd say at least a dozen. They bought 40 towers, and this was one of them. And so that was on this trip. Then I left there to come here, and that's how we're here now. Next week, I plan to go to northern Manitoba to our field missionaries out there. And we're still hoping to get into northern Quebec. It'll take a miracle. We just don't know how God's going to get us in there, to visit our single lady missionary there who graduated locally here from Peace River Bible Institute. She has no husband, she has no partner, she has things that need to be fixed on the house, and we want to go and help her with that. Let's turn to the Word of God, to 2 Chronicles chapter 29, and we'll start at verse 1. So 2 Chronicles chapter 29, and beginning at verse 1. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. I'd like to call this message Hezekiah's Heart for God. And there are three E's. You've heard of the Triple E Senate, which started out of Alberta. Well, I'd like to speak on the three E's here that show Hezekiah's heart for God. The first one is in verse 2, his epitaph. His epitaph says, right in the sight of God. Wow, that is quite an epitaph to have. Right in the sight of the Lord. I wonder if somebody wrote an epitaph about you, maybe somebody from a business in town or somebody had a business dealing with, what would they write about you? Or people from the school or, neighbors, what would they write about you? But more importantly, what would God write? This is what God said about Hezekiah. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. It's interesting, too, that that is amplified, like expanded on, when it says, according to all that David his father had done. Sometimes when we think of David, we think of his sin with Bathsheba, or his murder of Uriah the Hittite. Those things can color our lives, but God has chosen to forgive the repentant. He says, I will not remember your, I will remember your sins no more. I will bury them in the depths of the deepest sea. As far as the east is from the west, will I remove them. Isn't that amazing? We know where the North Pole is. We know where the South Pole is. But if you go west, you can never find east. Or if you go east, you can never find west. You just keep going and going and going. That's how far God has removed our sins from us. And when we repent, we have a change of heart, a change of thinking, meaning from the thinking we had when we did the sin to adopting God's view, God's thinking of this. When we repent, He gives us His mercy. And I often think of Psalms 136. Which every verse shows the mercy of God in the whole chapter. For His mercy endureth forever, it says there. This man is just such an encouragement to me in his epitaph. He did that which was right in the sight of God. That is the first E. Let's go to the second E, which is his early start for the things of God. Shows me that he had a heart for God. So not just his epitaph, but also his early start. Verse 3. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. So right off the get-go, he starts out for God. Like I wrote this morning in the margin of my Bible, the things of God were Hezekiah's priority. That's what had first place in his heart. He right away went and opened the doors. May it never be said of us that the doors of the church are shut, or we would stop somebody from coming to the house of the Lord. He opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and more than that, he noticed the situation, he assessed it, and he acted accordingly, because it says in the end of verse 3, and he repaired them. He saw what needed doing, and he did it. And he did it with a free heart, as we see in verse 31. I'm just thinking, what are things that we see that need doing? maybe at a Bible camp, or maybe with a mission, or maybe just somebody that needs mentoring. So, for example, we attend a little Baptist church in Saskatchewan, and it is led by a farmer, and we don't have a building, so we meet in different family members' homes. And the home it was in last Sunday, he just has this huge heart for mentoring people. And he will drive way out of his way weekly to go and mentor another farmer in the things of God. We don't have to be a missionary or a pastor to mentor people and teach them the Word of God. This guy is turning 75, and he just has such a heart to go and mentor. And he says, the first thing I do, like before I go to work, and he's still working, he's working for farmers, he says, I read the Word of God. And because he does that, then he's able to share it with others. So I really like that early start. It's he was young, and he served God for 29 years. And if we read all through that chapter and the next couple chapters, we'll see how he served God. I really like that. And the third E, the final E, is he served God in everyday life. What he did in everyday life showed his heart for God. So let's jump over to verse 4. And he brought in the priests and the Levites, and listen to this, he gathered them together. Wow. That God has, yeah. The whole thing about gathering together is so important, eh? We're not lone eagles. We're not hermits. God has made us to be social beings. We are not just body. We are also soul and spirit, and we need to be together. He brought them together. He gathered them together. And then he opens his mouth and he speaks. And I don't believe he had any Bible school other than his mom's, Abijah. By the way, in Kings, she is called Abi. I call her Abby for short. Abi. But that's the same lady, Abijah. She must have taught him the Word of God. Anyways, says here, verse 5, he said to them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord your God, of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. You see in verse 6, it says they had turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord. Hadn't been there, been gone. Wow. Hadn't met together. Wow. Says they turned their backs. Verse 7, they shut up the doors and put out the light. Put out the lamps. Wow. So he goes and challenges them. He says in verse 11, the Lord has chosen you to stand before him and to serve him, and that you should minister unto him. We can be ministering wherever we go. I minister to people while I'm driving them in my truck. I minister to them when I'm standing in the grocery store. I minister to them on the reserve. It's not just in church. We can be sharing the Lord wherever we are and be active for him. Verse 15, they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of not the political leaders, but of the king that God had appointed. And we serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wow. And when they had repented and consecrated, notice what happened. They had made reconciliation in verse 24. In verse 25, they got their instruments together and were praising and singing to the Lord. It said, verse 27, and Hezekiah commanded to offer burnt offerings on the altar. And when the burnt offering began, here's the music starting. Look at this. Verse 27, the song of the Lord began. Verse 28, the singers sang. Verse 30, Hezekiah commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord. And they sang praises with gladness. Wow. When sin is dealt with, Then there is rejoicing and gladness and joy. And even more important than that, there is worship. It says in the end of verse 30, and they bowed their heads and worship. Verse 29, all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshiped. Together they worship, not just alone, together. Verse 31, he invites them, come near, bring sacrifices and thank offerings. And I like the last phrase of verse 31, and as many as were of a free heart. Wow, there was a teenager helping me on one of my loads, and his father indicated to me that that teenager was disgruntled, and I thought, I won't ask him again. I don't want a disgruntled help. The Bible says in the New Testament, God loveth a cheerful giver. And I thought, and so do I. Let us be cheerful in whatever service God asks us to do or opportunity God sets in our pathway. Let's help with glad hearts, free hearts. May it be so. Verse 34, the Levites did help till the work was ended. Some people come and they start and they take off and the job's half done. Look here, they helped till it was ended and until the other priests had sanctified themselves, for the Levites were more upright in heart. Our title today is Hezekiah's Heart for God. Well, some of the priests and Levites had hearts for God, but some didn't. Some had more of a heart for God than others. The question to me is, John, where is your heart? How is your heart for God? The question is for you, how is your heart? How is your heart towards the Lord? Does he have first place? How is it there with you? The last verse of the chapter says, and Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people, not separately in their tents, but together, all the people that God had prepared. For the thing was done suddenly. Isn't that neat? He didn't put it off till tomorrow. You might say, well, I'm old. I'm 90. Somebody told me this week he was 90, and they just shut their church down. I said, why? COVID. Nobody comes. We're going to sell it. Oh, my. We need a Hezekiah in that particular church. Wow, that one was in Saskatchewan. Well, I see my notes just dropped down between the seats. I'm doing this in the truck. So I guess we're done. I want to close with an illustration from last night. So I was in Superstore. I had to buy something from past Grand Prairie, and as I came through Grand Prairie, I stopped at Superstore and bought groceries. And between the self-checkout and the door, I got talking to a stranger, and he's from a Baptist church. And never met this man before, and I could just tell this man has a heart for God. And we just hit it off, and I said to him, we'll have to get together. And we exchanged phone numbers. And I wanted to get together with him. I'm just going to see here if I can read his text to you. Oh, I better not do it. Maybe I don't know how to do this. It was something like this. John, I did not look forward to going grocery shopping tonight. It was so late. But meeting you made it all worthwhile. He said, John, if there's anything, yes, anything at all that we can do for you in your move, I'm just a phone call away. And I thought, wow, I'm a complete stranger to this man. But this man has such a heart for God. And it's evidenced by the fruit. I talked to one of our missionaries very recently. This one was at Hobima. I was there with him. And I was asking about so-and-so, are they a Christian? He said, well, I don't know. He said, I go by the fruit, he said. If there's fruit, then they are a believer. I just want to ask, is there fruit in your heart? Does it show your heart for God? How is the fruit in your life? Lord, we just thank you for people like Hezekiah. We just saw a glimpse here into the start of his life. Later in his life, the Assyrians came down with 185 soldiers of army and were going to wipe out Jerusalem. And what did Hezekiah do? He went to you. And in 1 Kings, it says he trusted you more than any king before him or any king that came after him. That's because of his heart for you, Lord. Lord, make us like Hezekiah. Hearts for you, that when difficult things come up, we turn to you and we stand still and we watch the salvation of the Lord. Lord, you took care of that army without any soldier lifting a sword or a spear. Your angel came and slew 185,000, and the king went home without all those soldiers, and Jerusalem was spared. Because you are worth trusting in. You are worthy, and we bow down and we worship you, and we want to serve you with the remaining days of our life. Give us hearts for you. Lord, may our epitaph be a reflection that you were the priority of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
God, from whom all blessings flow, praise him, all creatures here below, praise him above, ye heavenly hosts, praise Father, Son, and Holy. God, from whom all blessings flow, praise him, all creatures here below, praise him above, ye heavenly hosts, praise Father, Son, blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy.
As you ponder what you've heard this morning, I'd like to leave you with the following benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.